Intrepid Spirit by David Tuno, narrated by David Tuno. Prologue. Off the coast of Libya, 1805. The sea boiled off the bow of USS Constitution as she cut an angry gash through the waters near Tripoli, eager for her first taste of battle against the enemy she was built to fight, the Barbary Coast Pirates. Lookouts strained for a glimpse of the enemy through breaks in the heavy fog cloaking Tripoli Harbor dead ahead. Commodore Edward Preble didn't wait for them to call down from the fighting platforms aloft. "Battle stations," he ordered. "Run out the guns." Boatswain's fife signaled the command, and the pulsating beat of the drummer added an ominous rhythm to the chorus of clamoring boots over the ship's fur decks. Gun ports flew open along the ship's oak hull. Once as sleek as a racing yacht, it now bristled with the iron barrels of 44 heavy guns. Their crews huddled behind them, awaiting orders to hurl their massive ordnance into the enemy ships and fortifications. Sharpshooting marines, their muskets slung over their shoulders, climbed the heavy net-like rope shrouds to the fighting platforms on the masts. Preble assessed the performance of his officers and crew as they prepared for battle and relished the chance to visit destruction on the North African marauders. With their 18th-century felucca galleys, powered by both sails and oarsmen, the pirates had enjoyed the profits from unfettered pillaging of small coastal villages and nations surrounding the Mediterranean and as far north as Iceland. The inhabitants they did not enslave, they murdered. They raided helpless merchant vessels and extracted great wealth in the form of tribute, not only from European countries, but from an ill-equipped America as well. Now, they were about to encounter a state-of-the-art warship ordered built by President Thomas Jefferson when he had had enough of what he called the musclemen. "Harbor lights, 5 points off starboard bow," came the call from the lookout above, peering over the blanket of fog that enveloped the ship's hull below. From his position near the helm, just forward of the mizzenmast, Preble nudged the helmsman and pointed to a new heading to starboard, while his second-in-command, the untested Lieutenant Andrew Blair, issued orders to the junior officers. The fog had created a hazard for the ship entering the harbor, but Preble used it to his advantage. Without it, a surprise attack by the 1,900-ton, 200-foot-long vessel with a mainmast that scraped the sky at over 200 feet would have been impossible. Her oil lamps extinguished, and with reduced sail, Constitution now cut silently through the fog like a ghost ship. As the sun peeked over a distant rise, Constitution punched through the fog bank into Tripoli Harbor and into full view of the enemy. Horns blasted their alarm from the fortifications on a hill on the ship's port side, and trumpets on the enemy's vessels anchored in the harbor stirred their crews to action. Moments later, the fort batteries fired on Constitution, nipping at her web of rigging and puncturing her sails, but otherwise causing little damage. With his hands clasped behind him, his braided cocked hat and double shoulder epaulets standing out from every other uniform on the ship, Preble calmly approached an ensign in charge of the carronades on the spar deck, the upper or weather deck of Constitution. "The fort is the main threat, but it's out of range for your carronades. Get the order to the gun deck to target the shore batteries with the port long guns." The ensign ran to a companionway staircase and shouted Preble's orders to the long gun crews below, who elevated the barrels of their guns to target the Libyan fort ramparts where enemy cannon fired on Constitution with increased accuracy. Sporadic fire from the Libyan fort was answered by a decisive broadside from Constitution's port guns. 24-pound balls from the long guns reduced the walls of the fort to rubble, while the U.S. ship's starboard batteries took aim at the nearest of three enemy ships now underway and closing the distance. "Steer 10 ports to port," Preble commanded the helmsman. The captain waited as her starboard guns came into alignment with the oncoming enemy, then called out to his officers, "Fire as your guns bear." One by one, the cannon on both decks unloaded on the felucca, tearing the pirate ship to bits and sending its surviving crew overboard. But the onshore wind that had pushed them into the harbor now was dying, and with it, Constitution's ability to maneuver her guns to bear on the two remaining...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?